630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.
Okay, so Canada West canceling the season. Not going to be basketball, not going to be volleyball, no hockey. And this announcement was made about an hour after U Sports said that they would not have any national championships for the 2020-2021 season. Big story today for University Sports. Of course, the U of A had already canceled all of its athletic seasons. The hockey teams came back thanks to an alumni member stepping in, and there was some funding for the Golden Bears and the Pandas, but now they won't be able to play. We had Ian Herbers on the show last night, the head coach of the Golden Bears, who was telling you about the morning practices and the team still having a lot of energy and maybe the opportunity to play some exhibition games, which they still might be able to do, but there will not be any Canada West hockey season, no action to go see at Claire Drake Arena starting in January. So that is tough. Also, the Western Hockey League, of course, that was our big story yesterday, is that they came out and said January 8th, the target date for the beginning of their regular season. We had Kurt Hill, the general manager and president of hockey operations of the Edmonton Oil Kings, on the show last night. Today, Ron Robison, who's the commissioner of the Western Hockey League, held a Zoom media conference and answered a lot of questions. And he had this to say about the length of the season.
Around 35 to 40 games, if you're going to end the season when it normally would. Is that kind of what you're looking for to achieve with the January 8th start date?
We have a start date of January 8th and a concluding date of May 2nd. So that will actually allow us to play a maximum of 50 games during that period of time. The number of games will be determined as we work our way through the next number of weeks, but we can play up to a maximum of 50 games.
All right, so an end date of May 2nd, as he said, for the Western Hockey League, hoping to get up to 50 games. Now, for the Oil Kings, they will play only the other teams in Alberta. And Commissioner Robison obviously emphasized today health authorities, you know, have to be on board with everything that's happening. They don't know about having fans, but they do want to limit travel and all those types of things. I asked about the postseason. Postseason format not determined for the WHL. The Memorial Cup is scheduled for the middle of June, but a lot of track to cover between now and then. So that's the latest on the Western Hockey League, and we'll dive into that a little deeper later on tonight. Brent Sutter from the Red Deer Rebels, owner, president, coach, general manager, he's going to join us after the 7 o'clock news. Hey, my name is Reed Wilkins. Thanks a lot for tuning in tonight. It is Inside Sports on Oilers and Double E Radio 630 CHED. Baseball tonight, Game 5, Tampa Bay and Houston are tied 3-3, and that's in the eighth inning. And, of course, it is Tampa Bay with the edge in that series, 3-1. So 3-3 in the top of the eighth. We will keep you updated, and I'm pleased to welcome back to Inside Sports, back in what he believes is his birthright of a time slot, play-by-play voice of the Edmonton Oilers on 630 CHED and the Oilers Radio Network. It's the one and only Jack Michaels. Hi, Jack.
Well, I would have been more appreciative had there not been a greater time lapse. I felt like when Thomas Dias signs off, first of all, I want acknowledged by his voice. I feel like his voice conveys a certain degree of, I'm only going to mention Reed's name, I'm not going to mention Jack's name. So I get the feeling Thomas, number one, looks down upon me. Number two, I want, in a perfect situation, Thomas to directly introduce me and potentially bypass you.
Yeah. Well, the list of the men's keeps coming from Jack Michaels. Don't worry, everybody. I made a note of that. No, I
yeah,
didn't.
Yeah, I would like that. I would like that worked out prior to our next agreement to talk here. Because like I said, I feel like he thinks he's better than me.
Well, Jack, as I used to say to the really unreasonable batch of customers when I worked at Blockbuster Video, I'll take that under advisement.
Yeah, I there's just something about him that's been rubbing me the wrong way lately.
Oh, Jack. Well, hey, that's we'll see.
Is he actually in a helicopter, or are you deceiving the people?
What are you talking about?
Thomas Dias. It sounds like he's in a helicopter. I mean, I know he doesn't do the traffic report, but it sounds like he's in a windswept area.
I don't think so. I think he's in the 630 CHED newsroom, but maybe they've taken the windows out since the last time I was there. Hey, Jack, look.
Right now.
Am I what?
Is he in a suit right now?
I have no idea. I can't see him, Jack. I'm in my spare bedroom that's not much bigger than a closet.
Oh, that's right. You're still mobile. You've got to foster a better relationship with your coworkers. That's one thing you should work on in 2021.
Yeah, well, we'll see about that. Look, I'll start with you. Hey, look, WHL, that's good. They got a date. We'll see. We're going to have Brent Sutter on the show, but January 8th, so, you know, after the World Juniors, hopefully they start to get going. There's still some track to cover to make sure everything is safe, but I was encouraged by that announcement yesterday.
Well, I guess it's better than not having a date. I mean, to be honest with you, I'm very cautiously optimistic. It's fun to announce these dates. It just, I'd like to be closer to the actual date before I think it's realistic, because really, some of the whispers I've been hearing around the National Hockey League is that, you know, it may be deep into January. I think the NBA, threw out a date of January the 18th. I think we're in the ballpark, Reed. I just think there's a long way to go. And, I know that living where I do, there's been some increased cases. My daughter is in quarantine right now as a result of, one of her classmates testing positive for it. So it's, she got tested today. So it's a time where I like the fact that there's talk of dates and talk about what we're going to do. It's just, I have to say, Reed, I'm not, I don't think we're near enough the finish line where I feel like we can get super enthusiastic. I'm cautiously optimistic, because I certainly, would love to see the Dub and these other leagues, hit those deadlines. Because if they do, it means we're in a far better place than we are certainly today.
Well, and I think for the NHL, I know they've given the January 1st target date. I think we can pretty reasonably consider mid-January or even February 1st. Bill Foley, who's the owner of the Golden Knights, spoke with Brian Blessing from the Vegas Hockey Hotline yesterday. We played the key clip where, he kind of said it could be deeper into January or February, and he right. threw out again the Canadian division, which Gary Bettman has been very careful not to give any concrete statement on. That would be, and we hope it's a one-off, because we want things to get back to normal. But if there was a Canadian division and you could have, you might play Calgary 7 times and Toronto and Montreal 6 each, It would probably redefine the intensity of the regular season for not just the Canadian teams, but for the Canadian hockey fans, because every game, whether fans could go or not, would have that all Canadian vibe about it. Those are special games.
Yeah, I think it'd be great for the country, especially in a year where, there's no Canadian football. I think it'd be a huge boost to have, a truncated season in a season where you're not going to see records challenged or necessarily some typical things come to pass, because, of course, you're not playing an 82-game schedule. That would be something to look forward to, absolutely. And quite frankly, in a struggling market, I think it would really help a team like the Ottawa Senators. There's some excitement behind what they did at the draft and in free agency. And I think a club like that, which is, let's face it, Ottawa is kind of Canada's equivalent of, the Florida Panthers. I mean, a team that kind of is under the radar. I mean, I quite frankly, Reed, even in Ottawa, don't know any Ottawa Senators fans. I mean, I just don't. So that's a team that could maybe get a bit of a jump start, with a lot of interest, in an all-Canadian division. I think it'd be fantastic. I'd love to pretend that we're going to be in an even better place and that won't be necessary. But with the border situation right now, it's hard to think that an all-Canadian division isn't going to have, a great deal of appeal in terms of safety and just generally not confusing some issues that are beyond the league's control. I mean, we saw what happened, Reed, in the playoffs as you got deep into the conference finals and the Stanley Cup final. There were issues with families and some promises that had been implied, weren't able to be upheld through circumstances beyond the league's control. So I think in this particular year, an all-Canadian division, not only makes sense, but like I said, would be tremendous within Canada.
Jack Michaels joining us tonight on Inside Sports. Jack, and one thing I've brought up a couple of times with the National Hockey League and could be really interesting is I really think the possibility exists that whenever they announce a start date and then a schedule, it might not be a complete schedule. I mean, they could say we're playing 60 games, just that's the most they're going to get in. They could say we're playing 60 games, here's the first 30 for every team. And maybe for the Oilers, it's all only against other Canadian teams. And then they see how things go, if arenas can open up, if travel can open up, and they say, we will announce the rest of the schedule on, you know, March 1st or whatever. That would be really odd. I can't think of, I mean, the NFL has flex scheduling, but you know who you're going to play. That would really be unprecedented for a league to put out kind of half a schedule and then say, we're going to wait and see. I think something like that could happen in the NHL.
Well, and I think, Reed, did the ECHL not do something similar to that? I'm not sure they announced all their games.
I think you're right. I'm going to double check. I think it was partial.
I saw a schedule release today from the league and didn't quite, you know, get into the third and fourth paragraphs on that. But I know, obviously, I still have some contacts in that league, and I know that was on the table. And I think that would be awesome, too. I would love to see that, especially, Reed. I mean, think about it. If you were 30 games into the season, say, an all Canadian division, and the league could kind of play with things a little bit, if you think about it, to make the division races interesting, you know, load up with maybe the next 30 all within the division and, you know, try to create some interesting stretch races. So, again, there's some malleability and some flexibility if you do that. And I think in this particular year, why wouldn't you consider it? Because any and all options should be on the table to get some semblance of a season the fans can rally behind this year. Because that's the biggest thing I've missed. I mean, I know part of the reason that was on the table to begin with, Reed, is to maybe have the first portion of the schedule with limited or no fans, and then maybe, you know, opening the floodgates if North America was a bit healthier, let's say, you know, come March or April. So I think anything and everything should be on the table this year. It's whatever needs to be done to get the season done. And obviously that's very similar to what was just accomplished at both the NHL and NBA levels. And again, look for those two leagues to work in concert, Reed, because outside of the border issues where all you have is the Toronto Raptors, but outside of the border issues, you know, the NBA and NHL are working on somewhat similar models.
Speaking of things on the table, Jack, before I let you go, a Cleveland Browns playoff appearance, maybe even Super Bowl run? They're 4-1, Jack.
Well, Reed, think about this. The last time the Browns were 4-1, you had perfect vision. That's how far we're going back here. I mean, that's really, remarkable. It's been 26 years where they could even say that they're 4-1. I was kind of stunned. It's the first time the Steelers are 4-0 since 79, which, is very close to the year of your birth, as I recall. But in any event, it's fantastic. I'm looking for bright spots in the year 2020, as we probably all are right now. And that is a situation where, you know what, the Browns are being 4-1. That's helping me get through certainly September and October.
All right. Hey, Jack, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for checking in. Enjoy watching the ball or the football this weekend or whatever you're diving into, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
I'm actually watching the ball game right now. It's a hell of a game, Tampa and Houston. And while I have this opportunity, again, best wishes to your folks. I know they went through the old cataract surgeries, and I hope they're healed up and starting to come around.
Bill, appreciate that, Jack. Thanks a lot, buddy.
All right, take care, pal.
That is Jack Michaels, play-by-play voice of the Edmonton Oilers on 630 Shed and the Oilers Radio Network, checking in tonight. Love having Jack on the show, even though he constantly gives me a hard time. I'm getting used to it. 780-496-0063. Got a couple of texters writing in about a Canadian division in the National Hockey League, and somebody has a Blockbuster reference. We'll get to those when we get back. We'll be right back. Brent Sutter from the Red Deer Rebels coming up a little bit later on. Zach Kolaros will check in. Grey Cup winning quarterback with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Yeah, quite a year for him last year. Hurt in the first game of the season, traded to Toronto, then traded to Winnipeg, and helps the Bombers in that long Grey Cup drought. We'll see what's up with Zach between 6:30 and 7. Some texts here to 780-496-0063. This texter says, hey, Reed, could you imagine if they played 60 games and having to play 10 games against every Canadian team? Wow, that would be something. Can you imagine 10 battles of Alberta in 4 months? And there'd probably be games where they played each other two or three games in a row, either home and home or little mini series in one city. Another texter says playing Ottawa six times isn't very appealing. Winnipeg also lacks excitement. The other four cities would be more compelling. Well, you know, Ottawa obviously is not at the peak of their cycle, shall we say. We've been there with the Oilers. You know, Winnipeg's a pretty good club. I've always thought there's, if there are fans, and there may be some, there's a pretty good vibe with Jets fans when they come to Rogers Place. I've always found that texture does not agree with me. That's fine. And Daryl says, what is this, Daryl? Daryl says, hey, Reed, found season 6 of Sopranos at Bible Store, still in Blockbuster DVD holders. Getting old, eh? LOL from Daryl. Well, first of all, it's I find it kind of ironic that a Bible store would be selling Sopranos DVDs. But yes, he sent a photo here, and they are still in Blockbuster packaging. That is amazing. Well, I got to be honest with you, I never watched The Sopranos. Maybe that's something I'll get into as the pandemic rolls on. I have been watching a little more television than usual. 780-496-0063. You are welcome to text about sports, but yeah, any Blockbuster references, I'm always happy to get them. Zach Kolaros coming up. Oh, and Jeff Perlman. Don't forget about Jeff. Awesome sports writer. Used to write for Sports Illustrated. He's cranked out another book about the Los Angeles Lakers three-ring circus. This one about the Kobe and Shaq Lakers. He's on at 7:30 tonight. We're back after the news. Thanks for checking in. All right, that is Connor McDavid, captain of your Edmonton Oilers. When will they be back? Ongoing question that we will keep discussing here on Inside Sports. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Quick baseball update. Still 3-3 Rays and Astros now into the top of the ninth. The Dodgers and Atlanta into the bottom of the second. No score after that big 11-run first inning yesterday for the LA Dodgers. We'll keep you updated on those two games. Of course, no Thursday night football. They had to rearrange the schedule because of the COVID tests and the adjustments to the schedule in the NFL. I was just reading, though, that there is a pretty big football game on ESPN2 in the States tonight featuring a young man by the name of Arch Manning. Arch Manning, yes, from the Manning family. He is the nephew of Peyton and Eli, so the grandson of Archie. So he's the son of Cooper Manning, the one of the three brothers that didn't become an NFL quarterback. And he's already anticipated to be a top college quarterback, top recruit for 2023. So who knows, in 6 or 7 years, you could see another Manning playing as a star quarterback in the National Football League. Pretty interesting. Speaking of star quarterbacks, I'm pleased to welcome back to Inside Sports from the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. It is Zach Kolaros. Zach, you're on with Reed. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good. How are you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you again. We appreciate you making time for us. And I know, obviously, you know, I know you wish you were out there playing. Let people know what you've been up to over the last few weeks here, Zach.
Yeah, I definitely wish the season was going on. You know, last few weeks, actually, I was down in the States. My wife and I took our daughter down there to meet my family. So it was nice to spend some time with family and see some friends. And we're currently doing the quarantine back here in Ontario. So, you know, cleaning the house and hanging pictures and watching baseball.
Now, have you had the place in Ontario for quite a while?
I've been living up here now for 5 years, but we bought the house just over a year ago.
Okay. Well, Zach, tell me a little bit about how your mindset throughout the summer. I mean, first the season was delayed, and then they were hoping to start in September, and then ultimately it was called off. I know I've talked to a lot of guys who play for Edmonton about it, not really a lot of guys from other teams. What was your feeling and perception of all this that's been going on with the CFL?
To be honest with you, I wasn't that optimistic about a season happening. Unfortunately, that's what ultimately happened. But, during the process, did my best to try to stay in shape and get throws in and all those things on my own. Try to stay sharp and watch as much film as I can and talk to the guys and, talk ball with them in anticipation for something happening. But, again, did it come to fruition and, just hoping that something can get going for next season.
Yeah, well, we hope that for sure. I haven't had the chance to talk to you since, I don't think I talked to you at all last year. I think you might have been actually playing for Hamilton the last time you were on the show. But, I mean, last year for you was unique, to say the least, how it started and how it ended. I mean, tell us about, first of all, you played a second or third play of the season and you got injured. What do you remember about that and dealing with the aftermath of it?
Yeah, it was a wild season for sure, Reed. Obviously was excited for another season there in Saskatchewan and, had a good training camp and was really anticipating coming back to play in Hamilton, for the first time since I've been traded away from there. And, unfortunately, took an illegal headshot in that game and missed some time, and then I got traded to Toronto there a few weeks later, and that was a different situation, and met a lot of good people there and got to reunite with some good people there that I'd worked with before. Didn't play there, but I was really happy with the time that I spent there and the people that I met, and then got the opportunity to be traded to Winnipeg there during the deadline. And when that happened, obviously was very excited in the moment, and then just went there looking to help the team any way that I could, and was able to get out there and play a little bit, and we made a run and won the whole thing. So it was I'm obviously downplaying it a little bit, but it was a really really crazy year, and couldn't have ended on a higher note, obviously.
I remember watching that game. I was doing my show, and I remember seeing the injury, and Simone Lawrence was obviously penalized for it and all that kind of stuff, and I think you had to go on the 6-game injured list. I mean, it's so scary for an athlete to suffer a head injury. Did you, first of all, was there any sort of, memory loss stuff or really huge concerns you had at the time?
Yeah, my only concern was obviously I'd been through it before, but I was fortunate enough to, throughout that whole process, meet some really good people, whether they were trainers or doctors, neurosurgeons, and really get the opportunity to meet some different resources on that end of things. So that actually was kind of a blessing in disguise with what happened. I wasn't worried going into that moment, really not worried after it. The unfortunate part is, there's not really a penalty for it in the CFL. It's like a $1,000 fine. So unfortunately, it's probably going to continue to happen. But at the same time, we know what we signed up for. This is it's football. It's a violent game. And, kind of is what it is.
Did you think you would have got into a game in Toronto, or maybe they acquired you and let you know, Zach, we might use you as a bargaining chip closer to the deadline? What were your expectations with the Argos?
No. I hadn't really spent much time around Jim Pop prior to that, and built a good relationship with him while I was there, as well as Pinball Clements. And, we were definitely on the same page the entire time. Unfortunately, the way the season was going, there wasn't much of a chance for us to make the playoffs. So, through talks with them, we were really looking forward to the following season, getting a deal done, and then, moving forward the next season. And then Coach Pop got fired there, and, there in 48 hours, things kind of changed. So, got a great opportunity to go to a great organization, and was able to capitalize on that.
What was it like being teammates with Chris Streveler, who, of course, now has a shot in the National Football League, a CFL quarterback who the Bombers used him in a very unique way, and he has a very unique skill set, and sometimes he might come on the field and you'd go off for a play or two. What was it like doing that with Chris last year?
Oh, Chris is awesome. Didn't know him at all, before going out there, before being traded out there. But, I've said it before, and I'll say it again, he's just a true professional and just a great person, a great teammate, and a super talented guy. And just his athleticism is just off the charts. And, obviously that's a sticking point, I think, for him, down south, whether it's playing the quarterback position and going in there and running the football. He can throw the ball as well. Obviously, we've all seen him do that. But there's a lot of things that he can do to help a football team. And, I think, when we all saw that he got the opportunity down there, none of us were surprised that he made the team, again, because of all the different things he brings to the table, not just on the field but off the field.
Zach Collaros from the Winnipeg Blue Bombers joining us tonight on Inside Sports. I got to ask you about that West final. First of all, going back into Saskatchewan where, you were the guy and then Fajardo came in and had an incredible season. Tell me about the lead up to that game and, being a visitor in that stadium against that. I know you had been with other teams, but, a playoff game in Regina is an extra special circumstance, I would think.
Yeah, I'd be lying to you to say that I wasn't really really looking forward to that game. I was very, very jacked up for that one. And then, taking the field there for our first drive and getting booed was just amazing. I thought it was pretty funny and pretty cool moment. And I was very surprised at that. But again, that was just an awesome moment, and really, really helped me get even more into the mode in the right zone there. And that was one of my favorite memories I think I've ever had playing the game was that moment there. And then, obviously winning the football game and going on to the Grey Cup was awesome.
Well, the way that West final ended, I don't know if I've ever seen that before, where a game ended with a pass hitting the crossbar of the goalpost to be an incompletion. You guys had a 7-point lead. As an offensive player, are you sitting there being a spectator, feeling nervous? Are you preparing, assuming that there might be overtime and you got to be ready? I'm curious how you handled, a nerve-wracking final drive there with your defense on the field.
Yeah, I could lie to you and say that we were all sitting there waiting and preparing for the upcoming drive or upcoming overtime. But I think we were all kind of spectators there in that last, which seemed like an eternity, but 5 to 10 minutes of the game there. So many crazy things happened in that sequence. And then, once the ball hit the uprights, we kind of all looked around like, oh, is it over? It's over. And celebrated. And that was a really, really crazy feeling. Obviously, we'd rather have been on the field and ran the clock out there. And, at the same time, not even gotten to that moment because we feel like we left a few touchdowns out there. But it was a crazy game, and I'm sure for fans, it was a really fun one.
Can you tell people what it's like, Zach, when you're the starting quarterback of a team that wins the league championship, that wins the Grey Cup, and the clock actually hits zero, and there are no more snaps to take that season, no more film to watch, no more preparation weeks. You've actually done it. What is that moment like?
That was a really cool moment. I think, obviously the way the Grey Cup went, we had a big lead there, so that moment was kind of taken away a bit there in the fourth quarter because we were all kind of ready for it to happen. Taking the knee there, my first thought was, where's my family? Where's my wife? Wanted to celebrate with them as much as possible. But, as that moment continued, just thinking back to the different things that, me personally, I had to go through that season and in the last couple seasons. So, it was a really cool moment for me. And, just as a team, obviously that's why you play the game. That's day one of every training camp you've ever gone to. It's yeah, this is what we're here for, to win a championship. So, you know, put all those hours in, and you know, whether it's film or practice and taking care of your body and doing the right things for the season, for that to all pay off is a really cool, really cool, you know, an amazing moment. And, you know, for those guys in Winnipeg who, you know, a lot of those guys have been there for a long time, I was really, really happy to be a part of that with them and look forward to, you know, hopefully doing that again.
Zach, you referenced the hit by Simone Lawrence, and you kind of referenced that there's not a steep punishment for it. I think some media members called your playoff run the revenge tour because you played Saskatchewan and then played Simone and Hamilton. I don't know if you ever really embraced that, but is it comfortable with you and Simone Lawrence? Is there a hatchet that has been buried or might need to be? Or just tell me about that when, you know, a player does do something that caused you a fairly serious injury.
Oh yeah, I think we addressed that, you know, during the week and throughout the season. So yeah, everything's fine on that end.
Okay, Zach Collaros joining us tonight at Inside Sports. Let's touch on some other things going on. By the way, I hope I didn't take you away from the baseball game. Hopefully, do I spoil it or can I tell you what?
That walk off. You see it?
Yes. Okay.
Really
okay.
Cool.
So I could give the score without ruining it for you. The Astros. Yeah, yeah. You could tell people what happened. The Astros won 4-3. What happened?
Is it tied up the series now? Is it the series over?
No, it's three. It's still 3-2. It's 3-2 Tampa. They're still ahead.
Oh wow! I was really hoping to see an Astro Dodger World Series, but. Who knows here? But yeah, walk off. I'm not too familiar with the name of this guy, to be quite honest.
Correa.
I haven't watched enough till the playoffs. But was it Correa?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So a walk off for the Astros. So there you go. I'm glad you were able to see that. National Football League, the Titans. They had something like one practice in 2 weeks, and they absolutely rolled over the Buffalo Bills. Is that not counterintuitive? Like, you don't want too many coaches to realize less practice led to that good of a performance, right? Or how do you look at the play of that well with so few reps?
I think it's, you know, those philosophies kind of go both ways, right? You know, I've been playing the game so long and it's been a part of so many different types of programs where it's, you know, sometimes you go full go every day, and I've been some places where you don't practice at all during the week, or you know you're out there just basically doing walkthroughs. So I think it depends on the maturity of the group and you know, the veterans that you have in the room and just the type of football players that you have. But yeah, I thought that was really interesting to watch the other night. You know, obviously it speaks to the professionalism of those guys in Tennessee, and you know, with the way technology is now, those guys doing all their meetings and getting all their work done on Zoom, I thought was impressive. You know, hopefully that doesn't have to continue on for too much longer. But yeah, that was really impressive. I mean, obviously those guys are probably fresh, but to go out there with a minimum amount of reps, especially this early in the football season, was cool to watch.
All right, I'm going to throw one more at you. So thanks for bearing with me. You obviously, you know, played in the NCAA. You were with Tampa Bay when you had a stint in the NFL before you came north. What's the biggest difference between an NFL playbook on offense and a CFL playbook? Like, I'm just wondering, is it the variety of the plays, the types of pass patterns, commitment to running or not? I'm just curious if there's something that pops into your head.
You know, to be honest with you, I didn't spend enough time. I didn't really spend a ton of time. In the NFL, I didn't really only speak collegiately. Collegiately, we were more of a spread football team. But I think just the major difference that I see watching the NFL and watching the CFL is, obviously the CFL is more of a pass-first league. But, you know, the last 2 to 3 years, you see teams like, you know, Kansas City Chiefs, for instance, really play a Canadian style of game. You know, they're throwing on first down. They're throwing you know, they're throwing to get ahead of the sticks. They're running the RPO game, what we would call a Sally game, in some instances in the CFL. So I thought they've done a really good job of kind of integrating that Canadian football mindset, and it's really paid off for them. And you could see a lot of other teams doing that as well. I think the cool thing about the CFL, obviously, is you have five or six receivers on every single play, so you can kind of always outnumber a team somewhere. You just have to find where the hole is, and that's what I think is the most interesting part about it.
Right.
Well, Zach, thanks for checking in. I really appreciate you taking the time to look back on what was a really interesting season for you 1 year ago and letting people know what you're up to these days. Look forward to seeing you back on the field. I know we still got a few months to wait, but I'm optimistic about a year next year. Zach, thanks so much for coming on 630 Ched in Edmonton.
Appreciate it, Reed. Take care, man.
That is Zach Collaros checking in. I enjoy talking to him. Like I said, I don't think we'd had him on since he was with Hamilton. And I remember he always drops an interesting nugget. And that was a pretty amazing experience for him last year. Hurt on the first drive of the season, traded to a team he never played for, and then traded to a team that he leads a great cup to, ending a drought that they had of 29 seasons. Really good to talk with Zach. Inside Sports on 630 Chat. I'm always happy to talk with you as well. 780-496-0063 is the number to call or text. We're back after the break. Yeah, so the walk-off homer for the Houston Astros, they stay alive. They stay alive against Tampa Bay. And they win it 4-3. So that series, Tampa Bay up 3-2. Dodgers leading Atlanta. Now 1-0. It's into the bottom of the third. Atlanta is up 2-1 in that best of seven. Good to have Zach Collaros on the show. I remember when he played for Hamilton, I kept picking him to win league MVP, the most outstanding player. And he often got hurt with the Hamilton Tiger Cats. I was glad to see him win the Grey Cup. A pretty good player, and he's a good interview as well. All right, 780-496-0063 is the number to call and text. You can email insidesports@630chat.com. Mark sent me a note tonight. He says, Mike Smith earned the contract with the beating he gave Talbot. He also says people need to leave Darnell Nurse alone. He's a very good defenseman that we would have a hard time replacing. I'm a diehard Oilers fan for life. And then he has Holland plus Tippett equals the Stanley Cup. That is Mark emailing in tonight. Thanks for checking in, Mark. We're back after the news.
Six 30 Chad Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 Chad.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.